Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and we hope you're feeling good. It's kicking off good for you. Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to the 15th of May, 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Mailoff here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
We are here to make sure that your start of your week is strong, good, fun. We've got a lot of things to help us do that, too, today. We're going to get into some interesting stuff. I want to talk about the five times you don't need to leave a tip.
Okay.
Ooh.
This kind of plays off of something we were talking about a little bit last week. We're going to get into that. There is something really interesting happening with the old Bed Bath & Beyond buildings and some of the old malls and everything in town. I touched on this on Over the Back Fence Saturday, so you might have gotten a little bit of a preview if you were listening then. I want to get into it with you two this morning. Looking forward to that. We also have some McDonald's just did. That's pretty interesting. We'll get into as well. Got our National Day of Calendar coming up in just a little bit. 8 o'clock hour, we're going to kick things off with a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Looking forward to talking with Paul and the gang. After that, the top baby names of last year have been released.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
We got to get into that list. It's kind of a tradition around here. We've been doing that for quite some time, so we got to do that. That's coming up for us. Looking forward to it. After that, of course, we'll have Melissa's news. We'll have some more fun in the 8 o'clock hour. 9 o'clock hour kicks off, as every Monday 9 o'clock hour kicks off, with the kitchens open.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
All right, come on, you two. It's your show. It's your show.
Hey, it's going to be a great show. You're going to love the topic.
Take away from your intro, James. You were doing so well.
I can't be the one hyped about your show. Melissa does an amazing job with This Week in a Week Out. Nice work by Mel. We also want to send a shout-out to our friends at Chatterbox Catering. Do a fantastic job with it as well. Sponsoring the show. Indeed. We appreciate them. Got some entertainment news I want to get into that hour. Some that ain't right stories, good stories of the day. You know the usual unusual suspects. All that coming up for you. I want to catch up with you two, though, first. Melissa, I know a little bit of how your weekend was, but how was the majority of it?
Oh, it was a great weekend. We got to go see The Curious Savage at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, and it was a phenomenal production, start to finish. It was so well done. It was very well cast. The actors did an amazing job. I cried multiple times during the show, and laughed, and just I got couldn't believe the 2 hours flew by as fast as they did.
Yeah.
Because it caught you up that much.
Yeah.
It was such a good show.
That's really good to hear. You want to wrap up? I mean, you. Look, I don't want to be mean here, but I have been to bad community theater plays.
I think we all have.
It means something different when, of course, you care about the company, you care about the people out there, you're rooting for them. Mm-hmm. But most of us that do this, especially do it multiple times and everything, you've got a, whether you like it or not, you've got a bar. You've got a bar that's kind of set, and we kind of are part of the ones that set it.
Wisconsin Rapids does an amazing job with their shows.
Yeah, and so you want to come out of that. You want to get into that show and come out of it feeling the way Melissa is feeling. That is so good to hear. They had a fantastic season over Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. Big shout out to them. Congratulations to them on a great season. Nicely done, everybody over
there.
Well
done.
Everybody. I mean, every actor that had been on that stage all season long, everybody behind the scenes, all the directors. Directors, and certainly a shout out to that board over there, and to Tim Young, do a fantastic job.
Wonderful job.
Already looking forward to next year, and they're not done over there. They've got Silver Foxes Productions coming up next month.
Oh, yeah. Hopo
this year.
Yes. So it's going to be a fun summer with Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. We'll be talking with them more as things go along. Very good to hear.
And then yesterday, I got the fun adventure of removing clothesline poles from the yard.
Okay.
I mean, how deep do you think you should, put cement in for a clothesline pole? Just give me an average. What do you think would keep a clothesline pole standing up?
I want to be getting into mole people area. I want to be down so deep. No.
Well, I mean, moles are usually moles are usually a few inches under the ground. Yeah. So you think a couple feet, Beth?
Yeah, a couple feet.
Yeah. How about 4 or 5?
Yikes. That's a little excessive.
As we discovered trying to pull them out. They were down so deep, there was a pool of water. I could have gone swimming.
Wow.
I guess so.
It was an adventure. Yes,
those
we had
poles
to get
weren't going to go anywhere.
No, they were hurricane strength. Yes. those poles were going to last longer than this house.
Hey, to be fair, you know, hurricane season is right around the corner here in Wisconsin. So, yes. you know, you gotta watch out. It's coming up.
So. But yeah, we had to borrow a backhoe, and it was, and there was chains involved, and it was an adventure.
Yeah, I don't know. I come from a construction background, and there's something about that as it's Sunday was rolling on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would drag and everything, but there's a little part of me that would enjoy that. I just admitting, not that they had mucked it up as bad as they did, but then the challenge of having to take it. Yes. Oh well, I guess I have to go get this special machine for it and everything. Oh darn! I suppose I'll go do it.
Well, and Aaron and I worked together well as a team and managed to get it done. And then he got a load of dirt, got the holes all filled in, and now they'll just settle. And, you know, it's an ongoing project. But there's no holes in the yard for the mower to fall into.
You don't see that on a lot of lists as far as, like, things you're looking for in dating. Work well together. Like, teamwork. It should be, though, right?
It should be.
It should be one of the top things.
It's kind of at the top of the list, yeah. But you don't find that out until you're together for some time, typically.
It's a good one, though. And great to hear, Melissa. Great weekend. Nicely done.
Yeah, and nobody was injured.
Yay. There's the mowers right there.
Good to hear. Beth, how was your weekend?
I actually got to take some vacation time this weekend.
Nice.
So, yeah, I got to do some just fun social things rather than having to worry about a lot of the administrative stuff at the church. So I, for the first time, went to eat at the Hilltop Restaurant in Stevens Point.
Nice.
Very cute pub. Ooh.
Yes.
Great food. Highly recommend it.
And then
a friend of mine took me to Sunset Winery in Point because I enjoy wine, but I'd not been to that. And the ironic thing is she had given me a gift card to go there in 2019 before the pandemic, and I never got there. So I took it hoping maybe they still honored it. So I was still able to use that.
That's cool.
That's great.
So I just enjoyed that. And then I helped out at the Curious Savage. I've been doing the hospitality, so coordinating our ushers and the concessions and all of that. And you're right, Melissa. It's such a cute show. I had not been familiar with it before. And if you missed it, if there's a production someplace, go see it.
Mm-hmm.
But the one here was just great. And especially the newer actors that were on stage, you would never know that there were a couple of them up there that either hadn't been on there for like 10, 20 years or had never been on the stage before. So it was just a really cute show. And then instead of doing theater here, I got to have the fifth of seven installments of my birthday present from my husband last year. And we went down to the Overture Center and saw The Lion King.
Oh,
nice. I had a couple of friends that were also going to that. How was it?
It was awesome. It was just awesome. It was the first, I think, show since the first one of the season where they did not have the band on the stage. They actually had the orchestra down in the pit, and it was so big and they had so many drums going that they had to use two of the side boxes.
Wow.
If you've never seen the show, it does a lot of puppeteering kind of stuff, but not in the sense of like the Muppets. It's that they surround you and you act wit like the puppet is a part of you. And they go through the audience. It was so well done. It's probably my third time seeing the show. But it's always just a killer. But Seth never had. So it was neat to see it through his eyes.
Oh, I bet.
It just was great. And then yesterday was Mother's Day. So we had worship. So yes, I did have to work on Mother's Day. Yeah. But, you know, that has not changed since I've been a mother.
I was going to say,
And then we went out for a nice dinner and then was able to just relax at home.
Cool.
Our plans had been to go miniature golfing, but it's kind of hard to do that in the rain.
So
We're in our house. We kind of extend Mother's Day, so we either do it the day before, and that's when I get my breakfast in bed, which didn't happen this year. Well. Or we do it the day after, but I still didn't get my breakfast in bed this year.
No.
So I think that's scrapped for the year. But
Hope you're listening. But
might just be a random morning,
maybe for my birthday. Who knows?
There you go.
So we're going to do a little bit more today, kind of bonding after school, maybe finally get that miniature golfing in and make some cookies or something. So
good to hear.
So it was a good weekend. It was
very good weekend.
It was just be with family weekend, which was awesome.
Which I imagine that is a big part of all, you know, being able to celebrate Mother's Day is with family and all that. So I do want to say Happy Mother's Day to you. I didn't get to say to you last week and everything. Again, one more time to all the moms out there. Happy Mother's Day. Hope you all enjoyed. Hope you all had a great one out there. You all deserve it.
And how was your weekend, James?
Not as fun as your guys'. Geez, I feel like I got to make some stuff up here
Gotta
now
work
and everything.
Harder, James.
I went to the moon this weekend.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There you go.
I did. I went there and I hung
and
out with people, aliens, things. Darn it, I didn't go to
the moon. You know, moon people.
I didn't go to the moon. It was a good weekend. It was a busy weekend and everything, but got to... Well, actually, I got to do something really quick because I'm really, really excited about it. I landed a huge guest for Playmakers today.
Ooh.
I've been trying to do this for about a year or two now, and we finally landed this. So I'll just go ahead and break the information right now. There is an up-and-comer in the upper management in the NBA that we're very excited to have joining us today. It's this kid. He's the director of partnership with the Milwaukee Herd, Nicholas Maloff. He's a get, all right?
Is he? Yeah.
Is he my little brother? Yes.
I was going to say,
okay,
he had to pull a lot of strings for that one.
Fine. Yes. Doesn't change the fact that it's still a get. Nick's going to join us this morning on Playmakers, Seth and I, because for those that did not hear, the Milwaukee Herd recently won the NBA League Franchise of the Year Award and Promotion of the Year Award.
Wow.
Awesome.
Our Milwaukee Herd did this. I want to have some, I could ramble about it for a good hour, but I'd rather have somebody who actually knows what they're talking about. Who actually works in the organization.
Yeah.
We will have Nick joining us on Playmakers today to kick off the show. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So I did get to see my little brother and my nephew Mason this weekend a little bit. I haven't seen Mason in maybe a month or two, you know, a couple months or whatever. Mm-hmm. And just the weeds that kids are. It was one thing to see him grow, but his hair is getting longer too. And he's got his hair long. And there's somebody else in the family that has long hair and everything. And so I've been taking a little uncle influence here, apparently, which is really cool. But I'm not a ton used to a lot of that, of influencing my kids or my, you know, my nephews or anything like that. It really does make you kind of look in the mirror a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect to think, oh, wait a minute, do I need to be dressing better? Do I need to, you know, worrying about those?
People are looking up to me?
Yeah, I don't normally worry about those things or anything, but in that moment, I did. I started immediately, like, for some reason, I checked my breath.
Well, that's never a bad thing to do.
I suppose not as
well. It just goes to show you never know what impact you're having on the people around you.
Very true. Mm-hmm. Very true. Take a break right here. We will come back with our National Day of Calendar and a lot more fun. It's a morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Time to dive into our National Day of Calendar. Beth, Melissa, and James here to do it with me. National Stationery Week. It is National Stationery Week.
Okay. That doesn't mean just stay in place, though.
Yeah. Thank you.
Nobody moved this week. You just stay where you are.
Okay, phew. Good, because I can't stand still for very long. Okay, that's good to hear. A lot of good stationery out there. And where would we be without it? When I think of stationery, though, I also think of little kids, and I think of the United Way collecting school supplies for their for their event coming up for school supplies.
Stuff
the buzz, stuff the desk. Yes, that's coming up. So keep that in mind, everybody, as you are grabbing school supplies.
Mm-hmm.
We're really fortunate around here. Pam is really good at keeping up on that stuff. If
yes.
if you run out of something around here, I almost blame you. We're stocked up really well. We always have been, even when we didn't have money. We at this company, with a couple owners ago, we just still always had stuff.
Yeah.
National Nylon Stocking Day.
Yes.
Huh. Yeah. I don't
like them.
No? Okay. Well, I obviously have nothing to say on this one. other than to bank robbers, look, you got to evolve. We can tell who you are now. They don't work.
Yep.
That's all I got.
So, yeah, they've come a long way since they were first introduced. So I'm grateful for that. And they've kind of incorporated the girdle into the nylons now, in a way, with the shapewear that's out there.
That is very true.
Okay. Since 1930s, nylons have been around and everything. Okay. All right. Keeping it moving.
Mm-hmm.
International Vascular Birthmarks Awareness Day.
Oh.
Let's see. Understand the origins of vascular birthmarks and help get rid of any stigma and misunderstandings that have to do with these very common birthmarks. I don't know much about this one either, to be honest.
I don't either. I was reading about it a little bit because I was interested. It has to do with trying to, normalize it.
I have one.
A lot of people do.
Okay.
Some of them aren't in a visible spot, but some are.
Right, mine's
underneath my hair. And a lot of people are bullied.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people are bullied because of their birthmarks, and that's kind of a silly thing.
Yeah.
I agree. That is very silly. But I guess I apologize. Is there a difference between these kind of birthmarks and just your everyday birthmarks?
These ones are more red in color than
strawberry
brown.
Colored or porcelain stained.
And like it says in here, it's often called a stork bite. And that's what the pediatrician referred to, because one of my sons has it as well. And it's most of the people that I know, it's just kind of the bottom of their skull above their neck, right under their hair. So your hair will grow over it, so you can't see that it's there. But Seth likes to flip my head over and say, "See, she's got a birthmark there." Thanks, sweetie.
I have a cousin who has one on her face.
Yeah, and some people do.
Yeah. And it's just a discoloration of skin. It feels just like the skin on the rest of your body.
I don't make light of this by any means, but I feel like it's more about other people not letting these kind of things happen than people that are actually dealing with them. From what I'm hearing from Beth, people that I've known that have had, now that I know what this is, I did not realize that's what they were called. I've known people that have had these before. I grew up with a buddy that had one. One of my early best friends had one over the left side of his face.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that I know that has something like this rolls with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not making, again, light of it to say that it doesn't have its, cruxes that you deal with, but I feel like it's more about other people in society not making a big deal of this and just rolling with it, because we all have something about us.
Right.
We all have either birthmarks or freckles or something. There is no normal-looking people.
Mm-mm.
Like, the idea of what normal is or anything like that is one of the more ridiculous phrases you'll ever hear in your life. I want to look normal. Or what? Who
what
grew
is
up
normal?
Saying that? Who grew up saying, there's plenty of us that wish we had maybe a normal life or normal this or whatever. But as far as appearance goes, we're all different. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Well, and to judge someone for something that they've had absolutely no control over. It's not like we can choose how our body's going to look when we come out.
Well, it's no different than ripping on somebody for their height or their eyesight or any of these other things. You want to make fun of my hairstyle, that's fine. I chose this.
Exactly.
I decided to do this to my hair. And I don't really blame you. I get it. But, there's certain things. I feel like we're going to be learning here for a while of the balance of where is it where we can rib each other friendly, like we all do as friends, siblings, all these other things, as Seth, you're just saying Seth does that to you and stuff. That's a loving ribbing thing kind of between you two and stuff. And the idea of, hey, that's too far. That's something that I think people have to find out individually. They learn in, school and other settings.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bring Flowers to Someone Day.
Aww.
It's a good one.
Nice.
Where is this one going? Why give flowers only on Valentine's Day? Flowers have always been known as to be popular way of showing appreciation.
Yeah.
And they're beautiful.
They are.
Yeah. I like, and this is going to sound really foolish, I think, to some. I have my father's spirit in me of just getting people flowers just to get them. It doesn't matter what the day of the week is or anything.
Right.
But I don't like picking flowers that much.
Mm-hmm.
So I like taking pictures of them and sending them.
Oh, okay.
That way I didn't have to pick the flowers. I didn't have to, I don't know. I don't like picking flowers. It feels wrong taking them from the earth.
Well, then you can always make them. That's what my boys did at Sunday school yesterday, is they made out of tissue paper.
Mm-hmm.
They made flowers. And then those never die. So I can have those out however long I want to.
Yeah, and you can spray those with whatever scent you want to.
Mm-hmm.
All hail, it is National Chocolate Chip Day.
Yay!
We praise you, chocolate chip. We thank you. Oh, God. I didn't expect to get emotional about this.
There, chips.
I love you, chocolate chips. Yeah, we love chocolate chips. Chocolate chips are great.
We'll still have them around for a while. So
Yes. I just got a little emotional thinking about it. It all started at a little place you may recognize the name of, the Tall House Inn, located in Whitman, Massachusetts. It just happens to be the home of the most favorite of cookies, the chocolate chip cookie. Ruth Grove Wakefield had originally planned on making a chocolate cookie and decided to do so by throwing in chunks of a chocolate bar into it. In a happy accident, it turned out that the chocolate did not melt and mixed with the rest of the cookie, but maintained its shape, filling the cookie with delicious little chocolate bits. And thus, yum, the greatest cookie of all time was born.
Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you,
yes,
Ruth.
Thank you.
You are a hero. Why is she not on money? Why she should be on money? She should have a day. Why am I just learning Ruth Graves Wakefield's name? Like, we should all know this. It should be taught in history books.
Well, and it's her recipe that's on Nestle's chocolate chip cookie wrapper.
Aww. How cool is that?
Yeah, that's always the one I make, too, because it's right there.
Yep.
Yeah, there so easy. Yeah, yeah. That is really cool, though. That is interesting to hear the history. I kind of assumed that was one of those things that we didn't really have an origin story to, like a specific date and time of when it happened and everything. That is actually pretty cool that we have the history of that.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can go for two here with straw hats, because it's National Straw Hat Day. They block the sun, keep the rain off, evoke a simpler time and place, and look timelessly stylish.
Yes.
I don't know if everybody can pull off a straw hat, but certain people can. Aaron can. I think certain people can.
Yeah.
Yes. I actually inherited my grandma's straw hat, so I'm looking forward to wearing that this summer when I'm out doing stuff in the yard.
Trying to find a straw hats are known to date back to before the Middle Ages.
Wow.
All throughout the West and into the Orient. Very interesting.
Yeah, because they were pretty easy, relatively, to weave or, you know, make a straw hat that could block the sun for you.
When most Americans think of the Panama hat, they immediately think of Theodore Teddy Roosevelt, the iconic American president, responsible both for the building of the Panama Canal and the inspiration of the teddy bear. Very nice.
Wow.
And finally, it is International Family Day.
Yay.
Today is the one day you spend time with your family. It's the only day. After this, you don't have to see them again. No. Wait. Sorry. I should have read ahead. I should have read before I said that. Never mind. That's not what this
day is. Stop Ron Burgundy in it.
Get ready for a love-filled adventure with family. Spend time with your nearest and dearest. Create memories and make the most of life's precious moments.
Yeah.
There's never a bad day for this.
There you go. So I didn't have to extend Mother's Day. We're having Family Day today.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go do something fun with your family.
Yeah. And I would say that even if it's a matter of calling, I've been trying to get a hold of my papa like the past week since the NFL draft. I'm bound and determined to get a hold of him today. I'm going to talk to him today.
Just keep missing.
Yeah. He's in. They moved from Georgia to Florida.
Oh.
Recently, but they did all this and they barely told us.
Yeah.
So my aunt and uncle, who my papa lives with and everything, and my dad's younger sister, one of my favorite people and everything, I'm a little cross with them. I'm a little cross. I want to talk. I want to hear this out. I want to find out what's going on and everything. And also, where am I going? Yeah. Because I'm supposed to take my papa back this summer when he comes visits us and everything, and we drive back or we fly back or whatever we're doing. Thought we were going to Georgia. I was excited. I've never been to Georgia. I've never been to Florida either, though.
Well,
so that'll be exciting, too. That'll be exciting.
There you go.
Looking forward to that. Looking forward to Melissa's news. That's coming up right next. When we get back, we're going to talk about the five times you definitely don't need to leave a tip.
Okay.
We'll see if they're right about this. We'll come back and we'll find out more information about that after Melissa's news right here on the morning show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Strike a pose. 7:34 on the clock. James, Melissa, Beth. Beth is
fail.
That's all right. It was worth it. I wish everybody could have seen Beth voguing. She was doing great until the mic got in the way.
Yeah. Darn mic. Know your surroundings.
She's having a bit of a resurgence, Madonna.
Yes, she is.
Not musically so much as the books of hers and some of those things, some of those mm-hmm. other things. I want to say 5 decades she's been relevant.
At least, yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
There are not many artists who'll ever be able to say that.
Mm-hmm.
That is impressive. We got some fun stuff to get into this morning. One of the things that I wanted to touch on is actually something that is kind of like a callback to a couple of conversations we had last week, I believe, and just recently, we were talking about tipping.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you're not going to hear any like crazy statements here about tipping's this, tipping's that. I think that, you know, most of us feel pretty similar to the majority of the audience out there when it comes to tipping. And because of that, I want to include the audience in this conversation. 424-2600, feel free to call up and join the conversation if you want to chime in on some of the things that we're talking about with mm-hmm. when it comes to tipping this morning. Because while none of us are against tipping, we ordered food last night and tipped, you know, for that.
Yes.
Always do. And never, even when we didn't have money, we tipped when we did things like that and everything. The catch is companies not having to pay their employees because they got this whole tip thing that they're doing.
Right.
Like, there is a gigantic difference of tipping somebody and then tipping somebody when the companies should be paying them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because we've always done something doesn't mean we should keep doing something.
Exactly.
So I think getting that out of the way, just getting that preface out of the way real quick before we dive into this. And again, 424-2600, feel free to join Beth, Melissa, and I with the conversation. So what we're talking about today is this idea of when you know, the five times you definitely don't need to tip. According to experts, here are 5 times you don't need to. Don't tip service technicians like plumbers and electricians. They usually make a decent wage and aren't expecting a tip.
Okay.
But they will accept cookies.
I was just going to say it, Melissa. I haven't done too many electric jobs, but I've done a couple of plumbing jobs, and I've been on a ton of home improvement and construction gigs. And there have not been a lot of times, but there have been times where people have made us cookies mm-hmm. or something like that. And yes, mm-hmm. gladly accept that.
When we had tuck pointing done at the church in North Dakota, I made chili.
Because
it was a cold day, and they were out there working in the elements. I'm like, you guys need some good hot food.
Lemonade, coffee, water, all those things. Those are always greatly appreciated. That's just being a good human being.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes.
And if I'm being honest here, not that it is a necessity by any means. The work getting done is going to still be just as good. But it's a little like my dad used to tell me as a kid. Jimmy, always be friends with the chef.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you know, always. It's always a good idea to be good, to get along with the people that are doing work like that mm-hmm. and everything. And appreciative, just being appreciative mm-hmm. of it. Don't tip flight attendants. It's considered bad form, and some airlines even have policies against it. Handing out drinks is one small part of their job. The rest of what they do is closer to being a first responder than a server.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you obviously wouldn't tip a firefighter or a paramedic.
Treat them nice.
Yeah.
Respect.
Yeah. And understanding the position. This mm-hmm. is not somebody walking around with a nice, just because they have a nice smile.
Mm-hmm.
They're good at this job. That job is not easy and necessarily easy to learn to do. And the better we can be about society, in society, being more open about this, being more honest about it, hey, these are actually closer to this than they are to that. I think that's a really good way to word that. I felt like that they are closer to a first responder than a server. Keeping that in mind, and we should bring that up more and talk about mm-hmm. that more. Get more and more people in that mindset.
Yeah, if something happens up on that plane, they're the ones that are going to help you survive it.
Right.
Their
training is a lot more involved, and hopefully you never have to see any of that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. You have somebody has a heart attack at 300,000 feet mm-hmm. or any of these kind of things. Like, they're the ones that know what to do. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that are prepared for this stuff and everything. And their job isn't just, is there a doctor on the flight? Like, that's not the end of their training. Although that would be really tense if we found out that's the only training they have, like, is to ask if there's a doctor on the plane.
Or make sure you use 2 fingers and not one when you're doing the...
Yeah. If that was
showing
it.
knowing where the exits are.
As a side note, I love the ones that are really good at the whole instructions.
Oh, and yeah, when they add jokes.
And they get into it, yeah. 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 Oh, you're an entertainer, aren't yeah. you? You're into it. You're enjoying yourself. I like it. I just sit back. I enjoy that.
But you want to make sure that they're willing to do their job unbegrudgingly. So be nice to them. And one of the things I've started to do is bring like granola bars or something like that with me. You may not bake cookies in advance, but you know, give them a little candy bar and say, hey, thanks. I know you have to deal with a lot of people that are not in the best of moods. I appreciate what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. It's there's a lot of these things in society. I think it's always just a good rule of thumb. Make an eye contact.
Yeah.
When you're saying, thank you. Or any of these kind of things, it goes so much farther than we realize. And I don't think you have to think too much about it. Think about it for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, does it mean something more when somebody looks at you and says, thank you, you know, and that kind of thing? Mm-hmm. Or does it, yeah, thank you. And they just kind of keep walking or whatever. They just kind of, it's a little, like we learn this as kids. Now, say thank you. Thanks. No, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. Say thank you. Thank you. You got to say it. You got to say it, you know. Mm-hmm. 424-2600 if you want to call up and join our conversation about tipping here. Number three on the list, don't tip if you're traveling in certain countries. It's not expected in Australia, New Zealand, and parts of Europe. In East Asia, it can even be seen as an insult.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yep. So do your research before you go.
Yeah, yeah.
That's important when you're visiting another culture to know what their common practices are in that fashion. I think people who travel here, it's probably pretty well known because we talk about it a lot. And if, you know, they're paying attention, they know. But I think a lot of people are kind of astonished that, you know, service jobs, you get the minimum wage for service jobs is $2.13.
Wow.
Yeah, and the rest of it has to be made up with tips. Now, most places don't pay that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They do pay more than that, but that's the federal minimum wage for tip jobs.
And I would love to hear from our listeners who have traveled, what countries they've gone to and what they've noticed as the tipping practices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've never been out of the country, so I'm not sure. And honestly, hadn't thought about that part. Mm-hmm. Had not thought about that part before. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah.
I got to go to London when I was just out of high school, and the gal that we were going there to see was traveling for school. She was doing this through school, and she said, don't tip. Whatever you do, don't tip. They will be very offended.
Okay.
Okay. That's weird, but okay.
It's not the same thing, but I I know that I have felt it a bit insulting. I've been in a department store or somewhere before where somebody comes up to you and asks you for help because they think you work there or something like that. I've had that happen before, and I've had people... one time, it was somebody asked me for a menu. It was at like one of the earlier times I was dating this girl, and she came from money. So we went to a really nice restaurant, and I've got my nice shirt, my white tie, my black tie, my white shirt on, and all that.
So you look like one of the servers.
Yes. I wasn't insulted, but I was embarrassed because I was with people who had money, and I felt like I stood out and all these things. I think that you can find a relatability in this somewhere, and certainly the person who even if you do have money, you've been around somebody who has more money than you, and a lot of the times people who have money like to let you know they have money, and that can be kind of, you know, make you feel a little lesser than or something like that. So I think you can find a similarity of where that would come from or how that would feel like. I think it's a little difficult for some, especially Americans, to realize, why would an insult? I'm getting somebody giving me money. How would that be insulting? But you can find a relation to that. Yeah. You can find a tie into that, I think. Don't tip at restaurants when gratuity is included.
Right. They already include the tip in what you're paying.
In the bill.
Yeah.
If they automatically add 20%, you can tax on a little more if you want, but don't feel any pressure to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And don't tip highly trained professionals like nurses, lawyers, and accountants. If you want to let them know you appreciate them, send a card or give them a positive review online.
Yeah.
Yes.
I do love the idea of your case ends, judge, you know, gives the final verdict. Everybody's, you know, some people are cheering, some people aren't. You go to your attorney. Here's $5. Hey, buy yourself something nice. What are you doing?
Don't do it with a judge.
No. Yeah. I guess it kind of has to be said nowadays, but it is interesting. I think that you can show appreciation. I mean, I know you can show appreciation, though. You can go there mm-hmm. and do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think the, you know, making the eye contact, like, for instance, I just recently had a small procedure done, and I made sure to get to know my nursing staff a little bit, mm-hmm. you know their names, talk to them, try to make eye, you know, make eye contact and thank them for everything they're doing for yep. me.
Yeah, it goes so much farther than we realize. It can mean a lot more than money.
Yeah. One of the things yeah. we did with the hospital staff when my sister passed away was we sent an edible bouquet to the floor to that nursing staff to thank them for the care that they gave.
That's really
and
cool.
And they appreciate that, to know that what they're doing makes a difference, because mm-hmm. they don't always hear that.
Right. A lot of times they hear just the complaints.
Yep.
Anything on here that was surprising to anybody or wasn't necessarily, I don't want to say common knowledge, because I think a lot of this was that, not that, but... As I didn't know that about the. I'd never even thought about the tipping in other countries thing.
Yeah,
that part took me back a little bit, which makes me wonder why it's so big here. Oh yeah, that's right, because we don't pay employees enough. That's right.
Well, research and find out where tipping originally came from, and that'll open your eyes to a lot, because it was a cultural thing to try to keep a section of society in quote unquote in their place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is still an issue with there's still a racial component involved mm-hmm. in it, because mm-hmm. customers generally give white workers bigger tips yeah. than black workers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's based on research.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's also true for women and people yeah. of color. And then the who works in these industries where tipping happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
all these things are important. The data to get from them is important to keep in mind and everything. It is also important to keep in mind you do not need to tip radio announcers. You don't need
just
to.
Just in cookies.
But we do take cookies. Yes, absolutely. We are very easy to. Yes,
baked goods are welcomed.
as far as the greatest listeners go, you can bribe me on that. You definitely can. You definitely can. This audience has already won us over a long time ago. Mm-hmm. We are so spoiled by you guys. We appreciate you. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back, have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, James here with you. We'll take you right to the top of the hour. Nothing but fun. At the top of the hour, CBS News will come in and catch up on all your world news. And then after that, we'll have a live and direct update from our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Looking forward to catching up with Paul and the gang. See what Mother Nature's got in store for us today and this week. Mm-hmm. After mm-hmm. all of that, we're going to get into the top baby names from last year.
Yay.
Got awesome. The official list of the most popular top baby names from last year. We'll get into that. Right now, I was talking about this on Over the Back Fence on Saturday. And be sure to join us every Saturday for Over the Back Fence, 11 to noon. It's our call-in show where you can call in with items you're looking for, items you want to sell, garage and rummage sales you want to tell us about, or just call up and say hi to Seth, because Seth is the one usually doing the show, mm-hmm. produces the show, does a great job with it. Mm-hmm. Wanted to get into it because I thought it just was interesting because living here in the Midwest, we're pretty much building is there. If a business does not move into said building, we tear it down and build something new on it. And as a construction family, that always seemed like kind of a waste to
right.
me of good work. Certain buildings need to be demolished. Other ones, though, perfectly fine. Why are we, you know, why can't we just hermit crab this thing? Mm-hmm. Just put mm-hmm. a new business in there and make it work. I think our building here is a great example. This building has been three or four different things before it became what it would be yeah. now. And we're used to that in Midwest. Now, when I went out to California, though, it was really interesting. They've got a lot of old history out there with, you know, Mexico and a lot of Adobe features, a lot of they used to call them Santa Fe features and things like that. But instead of tearing any of this down, everything there is just hermit-crabbed. They've got, right, like, these old adobe buildings you could tell used to be a sheriff's office or something, and now it's a grocery store. It's just, yeah, it's really cool. It's
remodeled into the next generation of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Which I find very interesting. And I'll admit, too, I'm a nerd about architecture. I think that part is interesting as well. And all of these things, we've got businesses closing and shops being open, or, you know, empty buildings. What are we doing with them? I think this is going to be one of the more creative things going forward, mm-hmm, of seeing what we do with these buildings. We've got a similar thing here in Rapids where we've the old Shopko Mall is being revamped and turned, right, into something, mm-hmm, new.
Harbor Freight's moving, right, in.
Well, and it was already done with the old mall, you know, where, yep, the theater is and mm-hmm, the Lowell Center. There's a whole bunch of things that have gone there.
I was telling one of our listeners, I was like, yeah, because I wanted to get some feedback from people out here about this. And yeah, you know, when we first moved here, Walmart was over there. Like, right, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, Walmart used to be there. Like, people, it seems like it, for some of us, it seems like it was a couple weeks ago. Other people, it seems like that, well, you talk about that never happened. There was no, yeah, never a Walmart over there. Yeah, there was, but it's interesting to see. So all of this being said, what are we going to put in these places? What are we going to put in these buildings? Mm-hmm. How about the world's fastest growing sport? Malls aren't attracting teens like they used to, so maybe this might work. In cities across America, malls are becoming indoor pickleball venues.
Wow.
They're not going the smaller units. They're not going into the smaller units like the Walden Books or Wet Seal or something, or like a Sam Goody or anything. It's the big abandoned mall hubs, like the two we were
like
just
the
referencing.
The
JCPenney's, all
Sears,
those kinds. Yeah.
Bed Bath & Beyond, those kind of ones. CNN notes that it's already happened in about a dozen places, and it could become a nationwide trend because both bigger pickleball chains are and smaller regional clubs are moving into mall spaces. And it makes sense. Pickleball is growing so fast that it's outpacing the availability of outdoor courts in many places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at the same time, online shopping is making huge retail spaces harder to fill.
Right. Very well, true. And now it makes it a year-round sport instead of only something that you do in the summer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wanna play pickleball now in an old Sparrows. I want a or a Cinnabon or there something like that, or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
Hoping that that'd the smell like kind racquetball of permeated the walls,
yes.
And every time you hit the wall with the ball, that odor comes.
What were the stores? I did, you know, I didn't really go in them or anything. My sister did. Were the Claire's or something?
Yeah.
Okay. They did the piercings and stuff like that.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of those. Trying to think. I like the idea too, though, of having to play pickleball around all the stuff in that store. Like, they didn't take anything out of there. It's just like when they close shop.
The walls while
it's
you
just
play
all
in the
there.
Center.
Yeah, yeah. You got to move around it. I love this idea, though.
Yeah.
It almost doesn't matter to me what they're putting in these places. I just like the idea of that we're using these spaces, that we're making use of the land. If we're going to use the land, use the land. Don't just keep an empty building just sitting there and everything.
Well, because empty buildings, what do they serve the community?
They don't.
Nothing.
Well, they're a detriment. There's, if you imagine this. You're a young couple, or you're a couple just in general. Doesn't matter. You're looking for new places to live. You look at this area. Oh, I like the schools. Oh, they've got this and this and this. They've got this nice, beautiful area and all that. Let's go check it out. You're driving around. You're going down the main street, and all you see is empty buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're driving around town, and all you see is empty buildings. What is the likelihood of you moving into that town? You know,
right?
It is the one thing that every single community in America, not just big cities, not small cities, every community in America is trying to do this. Keep people in their community and bring more people in.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
and more businesses.
Yeah.
And
yes.
To revitalize those downtowns because they're the lifeblood of communities, small communities especially.
Telling you, you don't have to look very far here in central Wisconsin to see cities that have not adapted well to this, that are struggling with this, and cities that have found a way to make this work with them in their community. Things can certainly always be better in any area, but I would say here in Rapids, things are a lot better than they could be. And I think a lot of that has to do with this. First off, retailers, retailers certainly, but people selling these businesses, selling mm-hmm. these stores and
right.
stuff,
mm-hmm.
doing a good job of selling the store, of being able to, you know, get somebody to want to move in there.
Right.
That kind of thing. That is impressive, too. And we have a lot of good people out here. Talk to JR once a yep. month and everything yep. With Let's Talk Real Estate. Coal Banker, there's other good realtors out there
mm-hmm.
That do a really good job with that. That is tough to do. And doing that is a great thing. And then communities like embracing these areas, too.
Right.
Say there's a building. Well, there used to be this there. I don't want that building. We're moving in there. Moving in there and find out. Make it your own.
Mm-hmm. And there's such potential here in Rapids itself. I think about the block that's up by the Taco John's and Dairy Queen on East
yeah.
Grand. There's so much that can go in there. And I'm thinking, okay, what do we don't really have much for entertainment
yeah.
in Rapids, especially over the winter. Wouldn't it be great to have an indoor miniature golf course? Or an escape room,
yeah,
something
yeah.
like that we can go to and have something fun to do.
I'm still waiting on these crazy donut shops.
Yeah,
you know, I want one of those funky donut shops. One
of
those
places.
We were
in Madison and we passed a cupcakery.
We have Ooh. No bagel stops. We have no bagel
yeah.
places. Like, they open up a bagel shop, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Stevens Point's, like, really running game on us on the mm-hmm. whole coffee shop thing.
Oh.
We've got, like, four or five coffee shops here. They got, like, 90 up there. I don't know. let's just get some more businesses in these
yeah.
buildings. Let's get some more, you know, action going on with those.
Mm-hmm. And the challenge is finding the investors, the people
yes.
that have the money that are willing to
yeah.
put in the time to make these things work.
Yep, because there's definitely the time and the money investment mm-hmm. needed. And there are resources out there that
right.
small businesses can access, especially following the pandemic with
mm-hmm.
they're trying to revitalize these downtowns. Governor Evers has done quite a bit with trying to help initiate that with grants and funds.
Yeah.
Anything off the top of your heads that we could also make use of these with? I think Beth was throwing some things around. Because pickleball's great, but not, you know, I don't want to say it's a fad, but
no.
I worry about running into the same problem in 2 or 3 years if it was a fad.
Well, and I don't know that it's a fad thing. It's
yeah.
the realization that those that it's most popular with are a generation that was the largest generation we've ever had.
Right.
So just like we're seeing with our healthcare system and things like that, we don't have the workers because the amount of people that were doing the work has decreased
right.
just because not as many people were born in the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something we also have to keep in mind.
Yeah. That's
well,
a really
and I think another really good thing that's happening in some places is they're talking about changing the zoning in some of these
mm-hmm.
buildings and like turning old office buildings into housing because
yeah.
we have such a housing crisis in our state and in the entire country. But
absolutely.
If there's ways to change, you know, to remodel these places that we can have more housing, that would also be wonderful.
I would live in an old Sparrow's.
There you go.
I could, as long as the oven is off, I think I actually might be able to fit in an oven. I actually think I might be able.
Yeah. Well,
and I think
one of the benches for your living room.
I really
yeah.
should have done that joke.
And it's
that
great.
Really, that bad joke coming from me.
We've got at least two nonprofits that have come into our community and are renovating
mm-hmm.
spaces that were already here
yeah,
that
Mary's
just needed
Place
a little bit of.
And Hannah Center.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily permanent housing, but it's that leg
no.
up that some people
yes.
need. That helping hand to
housing.
Get them stabilized so that they can move into their own, but then we need a place for them to go.
Right.
You know,
right.
once they're
need an apartment to
yes.
move into.
Yes. And so finding ways to incorporate that into the community, I think, is the logical next step.
Mm-hmm. Well said. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and have more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.